And finally, I got dragged, kicking and screaming, into the brave new world of tape recorders. What? Pickleball. Things are open. Shuffleboard. What? This team better win 10 damn games this year. Otherwise, there's going to be hell to pay.
The Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford for the past 60 years and home to the nationwide lifetime warranty on new and pre-owned vehicles. Get shopping today at BillCurryFord.com. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It is that time again, episode 2 on the Ira Kaufman Podcast this week, starring the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the king of Newport Richie, the baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, Uncle Ira, Ira Kaufman. Ira, your podcast is presented by Bill Curry Ford. As always, BillCurryFord.com is where you start shopping. I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan. Lee DeKemper is here. Sage, what's on your mind?
Well, I got to start with the word of the day, gentlemen. Last week it was somber with the handyman story. The other night it was anticipation. Can't wait for the season to start. Today's word, very simple. Five letters, Mr. DeKemper. Starts with an F, ends with an F. The word of the day is fluff. Fluff. And we will talk about it, but I don't want to hear about colors. I don't want to hear about design schemes. I don't want to hear about changing your number. I don't want to hear about the caricature of Buccaneer Bruce. I want football, and I don't care if you wear a beach towel out there. Let's play some football.
I think Dan Lucas indirectly helped you out, Ira. Can't wait, apparently, jumped on the bandwagon and sent their chopper out over to catch a Brady-led practice at Berkeley Prep. And this time, they actually nabbed something real as far as football goes. They caught Tom Brady throwing a pass to Rob Gronkowski.
Lee, in the grand scheme of things, I mean, seriously, let's take a step back from this. First of all, they got too much time on their hands. They got too much money to send the chopper off for that nonsense. Steve, listen to what he just said. Tom Brady threw a pass to Rob Gronkowski. Stop the presses. That's breaking news for Wolf Blitzer. What the hell's going on here? Who cares? There's no pass rush. There's nobody covering him. And he tossed an 8-yard pass to Rob Gronkowski. I'm glad it didn't hit him in the groin. But this ain't nothing to celebrate. This is nothing. Absolutely nothing,
Ira.
Steve. Absolutely nothing.
Ira, perspective. Perspective. What else is going on in the sports world? The listener, Rob Manfred, whine about how he can't make a deal with the union? And you've got the epicenter of sports news a few blocks away from, a couple miles away, I should say, from Chin Lake News Center, and you ignore it?
It's not news. That ain't news. I'll tell you what's news.
Well, if that's not news, I get. In the real world, it's not news. We don't live in the real world right now. So if that's not news, given what nothing else is going on, then Lucas and every other sports broadcaster ought to be furloughed.
Well, I'll tell you what's news, that the Sage shot a 75 at Fox Hollow, and then I made the turn, gentlemen. That's news.
Ira, like Lee said, what do you want everybody to talk about? That they opened up the swing sets in Largo or something? I mean, well, come on.
That's my line, Elizabeth.
You go out and you make your own sports news. You get on the golf course, the tennis, your pickleball, things are open, shuffleboard, Lee. You can play Yahtzee. You're a Yahtzee champion.
How many eyeballs is that going to get?
I will not be distracted by this Tom Brady nonsense. When I got news, I'm ready to report it. The rest of this is manufactured, Stephen. Manufactured.
You're a cold fish. Fans are chomping at the bit for anything, really, but for football in particular. And you got, again, this is the epicenter of sports news in North America. Tom Brady, just, you know, in our midst. And people are just drooling all over themselves. They got to change shirts at work at noon because they got drill marks on their sport coat. They want anything with the Bucs. You got Brady practicing, throwing footballs to Gronkowski. It's almost irresponsible not to cover that.
It shows how desperate straits we're in, gentlemen. That's what it
shows.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah.
All right, Ira, you wanted to talk.
Especially you, Isbeth. Especially you.
Ira, You wanted to talk football, so let's talk a little football. You open your podcast talking about fluff and pictures, but you want to talk football. Which is it, Sage? Come on now. All right.
Oh, you got a bit. I'm loving it, man. The fluff.
You know, it's not fluff that the great Jimmy Giles, who I'm trying to promote as a legitimate Hall of Fame candidate, as a senior nominee, and can't get a sniff from my fellow compatriots on the Hall of Fame committee. They laugh at me. Jimmy who? What? And I try to make the case for Jimmy Giles as the only target that the Bucks had. They made the playoffs 3 out of 4 years, and some great testimonials from guys like Lawrence Taylor. You ever hear Lawrence Taylor talk about an opposing offensive player? No, he doesn't do that. He said we prepared for the Bucks all week. The only guy we ever talked about for 5 days was Jimmy Giles. That was it. Anyway, Lee, your good friend Gil Brandt, and I believe Giles was on Sirius. Now that's good football. They're talking about the best tight ends in history, the best tight ends for each team. That's legitimate, Steve. Not this nonsense about what kind of uniform Brady's using.
All right, now look. Byron Leftwich Tuesday, he was asked about where do you need to improve with this offense? And you know what he said? We weren't deficient in any area. I don't believe that we were deficient. That's the word he used. We were not deficient.
I'm sorry.
No, don't apologize for having a good time, Ira. That's what your podcast is all about. But that's the word he used. And it's an interesting word because Byron Leftwich knows that his offense was third in the league in scoring and third in the league in yards last year. So you know what? Some coaches might look at that and nitpick. But Leftwich's attitude, at least for the media, was we're not deficient. Even though we drafted two running backs, we're not deficient.
You know what it tells me? The symptom, I don't know what the hell you want to call it, scourge. The scourge that's prevalent at one buck, and it's called not owning up to, your problems. Again, if I'm Byron Leftwich, what is so wrong with saying, guys, we did a lot of things very well last year on offense. We got to get more production out of the running game. We got to. Well, what's wrong with that? Nobody wants to say it. Jason Light, Bruce Arians, Leftwich, Marpet, somebody please say our running game isn't good enough. Well, what's it going to take, Kemper? What's it going to take?
You hit the nail on the head, and I'll give you a couple things I got from social media in the past day or two. And I know, Ira, you're not a big social media guy, and I'm more and more each day, I'm starting to believe what Al Michaels calls it, anti-social media. But I did get a couple of nuggets the last couple of days. One was someone asked me in the comments on JoeBucksFan.com. I guess they could ask Steve, too, but it's a great question. So, Ronald Jones needs 3 years to become average. That's number one. And the other one isn't so much a question, but I have Fox Sports, their NFL Twitter, which they don't do a whole lot of twittering, but they twittered out something today, and it said NFC South champions last 10 years. I want to say New Orleans 4, Carolina 3, Atlanta 3.
Okay.
Guess which team wasn't listed?
Absolutely.
And that's a great point. And here Leftwich is acting like he's, they just put Don Coryell-like numbers. And we all know the passing game was fantastic. No question about it. That passing game was fantastic. The run game, I think, to call it anemic might be an overstatement. I just don't know why this team has such a desire to wallow with subpar running backs.
We're driven by data here. We're driven by facts over here. This is not opinion. The facts are that since 2016, when Dirk Koetter moved from OC to the head coach's office, that's 4 seasons, 4 years of football, 64 games. There certainly ain't any more than 64 because their season ends December 31st. 64 games. Steve, the running game stinks. This is not an opinion. It's no good.
Ira, why are you being so negative? You know,
there's no negative about it.
No negative about it.
Factual.
No
negative about it.
The running game stinks, okay. But you know what? They put up all those points. They put up all those yards. What do you want the offensive coordinator to say? We suck? Come on.
Well, maybe if you got a better running game, you run it a little more often. You don't throw 45 passes a game. You control the clock. You control the tempo. And you got less giveaways. How about that for a start, Steve?
I would listen blunt. Arians stuck to the run game on purpose to try to bleed the clock against the Giants, and that hit him in the rear end when his passing offense was just slicing the Giants apart. And all for what reasons we're not sure of, he decided to pull the ball out of Jameis' hands and go with the running game. And if you do that, you better hope you've got a running back or two you can depend on. They don't, and that came back to bite him in the rear end.
Lee, you just made my point. They tried it, and then the great teams run when they want to run, and the other team still knows you're going to run. And you can still do it. I mean, that's power. That is authority. That's power. And they don't have it, Steve. They don't have it. Now, you can blame whoever you want. You can blame Ronald Jones. You can blame Donovan Smith. I don't care. You can blame the play call. But you can't obscure the facts that they don't run the ball well. A lot of teams that they're going to be chasing, like San Francisco, Seattle, Minnesota, Dallas in the NFC, New Orleans, Carolina, they all have robust ground games. The Bucs don't. That's the problem.
Just asking you, about these deficiencies, and, you're fired up, and we love you for it, Ira. We love you. Now, let me go to this route here, because you can relate, Ira, since you're about 83 years old now. We love you. Your birthday's coming up. And Byron Leftwich looked into the Zoom camera and talked about how he's old school and how he doesn't like computers. He said he tries to stay away from the computer meetings with the players. And we already know Bruce Arians tries to stay away because that's what he said. And Tom Brady only likes, he's old school too, explained Leftwich, that he likes paper and pencils and all this other stuff. And Tom Moore, I don't think, is on Snapchat yet. So I'm just a little confused, Ira. What do you make of this? This is like the Zoom and Skype and off season, if you will, and these guys don't like it. It just seems bizarre to me.
I could just picture DeKemper raising his right hand in salute, ready to go, Leftwich, because Lee's talked about the stat geeks, and you can get carried away. I think Lee's talking more specifically about baseball. I'm still trying to figure out WAR and who cares about exit velocity. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Just tell me how many feet the ball went, and I'll tell you whether the guy hit it or good. I don't need exit velocity. Look, I'm not going to get on Leftwich's case. Number one, anybody that spent any time listening to him, the guy is sharp. This is an intelligent guy. He knows what he's talking about. He almost always says the right thing, except when discussing this team's running game. I'll give him a pass on it. Number two, he did a pretty good job last year with this offense. I mean, can I blame him for 30 picks? I mean, it's tough to make that case. Maybe put Winston in some tough spots, maybe. But despite the 41 giveaways, by far more than any other team in the league, they were third in the league in scoring. Now, some of it was makeup points, but not all of it. Ask the Rams if the Bucs had a good offense last year.
Ira, I'm asking you about computers, and you're talking to me about other things. What's going on?
Well, I'm not going to rip Leftwich for being old school when I saw the production last year. And if he has a meeting of the minds with Brady this year, an old school meeting of the minds, I don't have any reason to think they're not going to get 28 or 30 points a game average this year. So it's a little bit different. It's not Shanahan. It's not cutting edge. But for 1 year, it worked pretty darn well. So, Lee, I'm not going to rip him for it.
I'm not, but it's concerning. First thing I have to ask, and I wrote it earlier, was, we know Arians doesn't like the Zoom meetings. He's already said that, as Steve stated. And we've run it, we've quoted him on it. He's on Dan Patrick saying that. And then you have Leftwich, which, frankly, I think is more of a dodge than anything. I'll get to that in a second. But he was saying, I don't like to be on computers. There are various programs that are specifically devised to help with coaches break down tape. So the first thing I'm thinking of, and I do know the Bucs are state of the art. I've been told by people in the building that They've got state-of-the-art programs for breaking down tape, for analyzing, things of that nature. And the person who told me this also told me that the Glazer family, he said, hey, I need this piece of software, or I need this new piece of equipment, because it'll help me out. No questions asked. I mean, almost within minutes, the Glazers have someone calling whomever to order this piece of equipment or this piece of software.
I'm going to try that tactic with you and Steve at Joe Buck's Man. See if I can get some shiny new equipment over there, gentlemen. I don't even have an Instagram account.
But the thing about, teams are trying to utilize Zoom because that's all they have. I'm just using Zoom as an example. Well, Arians, we know he doesn't like it. Leftwich basically said, I have an allergy to computers, so I don't like to use them. What are they doing in these Zoom meetings? Talking about the girls they drug in their bed the night before or what?
Within the walls of one Buck place, regardless of what Leftwich says about writing things out on paper and how he prefers that and he's more comfortable, within the walls of one Buck, I think Lee's point is valid. They have state-of-the-art technical capacities.
What team doesn't?
They have a sharp staff, and they utilize it. They do utilize it.
All right, Aaron.
Bengals for one. Real quick about Leftwich when he said, I don't like to beat computers. I think, honestly, that was more a dodge than anything. What I mean by that was he was asked about Brady's home invasion. The guy's last name was Kramer, the guy's last name. I can't remember, but I wrote it up. Where Brady comes into the dude's house with two duffel bags. And the guy was very, very detailed what Brady was carrying, what he picked up, what he ran off with the day he mistook an innocent man's house for Leftwich's. And Leftwich just asked, what was in those duffel bags and what was Brady doing in your house? Because those guys weren't supposed to get together. NFL said, no coaches and players are supposed to get together. And then Leftwich played dumb. He's like, well, I don't want anybody in duffel bags. I don't like to use computers, so I had a lot of paperwork I had to give Brady. I don't know if that was just he said that as to get away from the question, or he actually meant, no, I don't like computers. I might get my fingernails bitten by a rat when it comes out of the keyboard if I stay away from it. I don't know if it's both or little or what. But
Steve, judging by today's breaking news, what could have been in those duffel bags? The new Buck uniforms. Brady might have been lugging them around. Maybe he wanted Leftwich to sign a couple of them. How do you like that?
Ira Kaufman drives a 2020 Ford Escape, which you can buy right now, 0% financing for 72 months at Bill Curry Ford, which presents all of Ira's work at JoeBucksFan.com. You'd be eating cheese, blocks of cheese, Ira, if it wasn't for Bill Curry Ford. They got the Great American Recovery going on right now. You get an extra $1,000 off with every new vehicle purchased, leased as well. Get to BillCurryFord.com. Click on the ad at JoeBucksFan.com and be like Ira. Drive a cherry red 2020 Ford Escape. It is a classy vehicle, Ira. You love that thing.
Love that thing. And you know what? I'm just about due for an oil change. I'm going in there next week to get the oil change and to renew my acquaintances with the great Sean Sullivan. Lee, we're going to talk about the 2024 college draft. I figure Sullivan's got a handle on it by now.
All right, BillCurryFord.com. This is the weekend to shop. Father's Day, you want a new truck? This is the time to ask dads to say, I want to go shopping for a new truck on Father's Day. BillCurryFord.com, family-owned for 60 years in Tampa. Unbelievable. And, of course, always email, call, ask for Sean Sullivan. Hit Ira up on Twitter and ask for Sean, and Ira will call Sean and tell him to call you if you want to do it that way. Ira, listen, I opened the door for Byron Leftwich on two topics, and he had no interest in dancing, didn't want to play. He threw the ball out of bounds and then called another shot. I asked him, this is verbatim, Ira. I asked him, Coach, after spending a whole year putting everything you had into developing a young QB like Jameis Winston, how did you feel when you learned he was leaving the team? Not only did Leftwich not mention Jameis in his answer, didn't even say the word Jameis, didn't refer to a quarterback. He basically gave a bunch of coach speak and said, I put everything I have into everybody, and we're just trying to put these guys in position to make plays, and I'm a teacher. Next.
I use the word sharp and intelligent. For Leftwich, I'm going to add another word, Coy. Coy. I think your point's well taken, Steve. You know how tough it is for me to agree with you on anything. The sky's blue, the sun rises in the east. I'm going to argue with you, but I heard your question. Legitimate. Talk about Jameis and his absence. He's moved on. He's Breeze's backup. What do you got to say? How did it work? What happened? Never mentioned his name. I mean, that was really shocking. Didn't want to talk about him at all. You worked with him. You worked with him day and night. Day and night for 12 months. And you want to mention his name? You don't want to talk about him at all? You don't want to wish good luck for him in New Orleans? Give me something. And that bland answer, as bland as can be. Well, I put all my energies into whoever the quarterback is that I'm working with. It was substandard. It was subpar. Steve, I was very disappointed with that response.
Lee, what did you make of that? Leftwich basically punted on even mentioning Jameis. I wish him well. Nothing.
I don't know what to make of it, but just about the entire Zoom meeting, he was giving non-answers just about the entire time. I don't have anything against Byron. Seems like a really nice guy, and he gives us his time, which I appreciate, but everything we asked was platitudes and evasive answers and made-up stuff, and it was, I don't know what to make of all that. I really don't. It almost sounded like, maybe I'm wrong here, I probably am, it almost sounded like he was ordered by someone, don't talk about Jameis.
And he didn't want to be very specific at all, Steve, throughout the 30 minutes. I asked him, after talking about Brady's preference for, throwing to his backs during 20 years in New England, a whole different array of backs, is Leftwich comfortable with the Bucs in that kind of regard, specifically pass-catching running backs? He never mentioned anybody by name, Steve. Again, nobody by name. Didn't talk about Jones improving his hands. Didn't talk about Dare. Didn't talk about the two rookies. And said, I think we're good there. I mean, are they good there?
Based on what, Zoom meetings that he doesn't go to?
Ira, you mentioned being coy. I just want to put it out there for the record. You were very coy, if that's would be a nice word, when you mentioned that you're looking for some new electronics. Did we or did we not buy you a brand new state-of-the-art computer months ago?
Yes, you did, Steve. Out of the blue, it was paid for in advance. All I had to do was go pick it up. I believe it was a Lenovo. Works very well.
It's a Lenovo, Ira. Lenovo.
Yeah, you see, that's like Darrell Revis. Yeah, here we go again. Here we go again.
All right, just wanted to put it out there, Ira, as you drive around your state-of-the-art new car that we bought you as well. So you just being a little coy.
Well, I mean, you've been known to buy me lunch on occasion, no question about it.
Next thing you know, we're going to get you an electric pencil sharpener, Ira. You'll be all set. You can loan it to Leftwich.
Speaking along those lines, and Lee, I've never mentioned this on the podcast, but you might have noticed this. I would say things changed maybe, 8 years ago, something like that for me. But up until that point, I was still taking interview notes by hand on a notepad. And finally, I got dragged, kicking and screaming, into the brave new world of tape recorders, because I always felt, especially if you're doing a one-on-one interview, I finally realized that you could do a lot better job on an interview if you just got a tape recorder in your hands rather than trying to scribble and keep up with the guy saying. And it was my old UPI background. You got to get the story out quick, and I figured if you got a transcribed tape, that's another half an hour. So I would use notepads, and I would write down all the important words. And I would miss, the little words, all of that, whatever. Nothing that was going to change the tone of the quote, but I would miss some words, obviously. And finally, I realized I got to join this brave new world of tape recording, and it's worked out very well. By the way, I need a new tape recorder, Steve, but that's another subject.
The tape recorder's on your phone. What year was this, Ira, that you finally learned of the tape recorders?
I think about 8 to 10 years ago, about 8 to 10 years. Once they fired Gruden, I switched to tape recorders.
The 21st century? Well, two things. First one is, when you're interviewing someone, you're using the tape recorder. Have a notebook by your tape recorder. And when the guy says something interesting, quickly look at your tape recorder, what time of the interview, and jot the time down on your notebook. So that way you don't have to go through an entire interview to hunt for the particular sentence, quote, the paragraph.
So Lee, according to what you just said, if you're doing a one-on-one interview with Byron Leftwich, you'll never have to note a time where he said something interesting. Is that what you're saying?
I won't go that far. No, I'm not. I don't think he's that bad. And the second thing is, I would say it's 1987 when I started using tape recorders full time, because someone in an interview claimed they didn't say X, Y, and Z, and they did. And I'm like, okay, I'll take care of this. And I went out and bought a tape recorder. And it wasn't much longer after that, maybe 3 weeks after that, I interviewed someone, and they got all bent out of shape at me. So I never said that. And I went to their office, and I played the tape for them.
That's another great point, Lee. Hey, Steve, one thing I forgot to mention when Lee was running over the last 10 years of the beautiful NFC South division.
Sure, and I just wanted to note in further news, next week Ira will discover...
the...
Ira will discover the blender.
I like to chop it up with my hand, Steve. Now, Steve, getting back to the NFC South, this I think is worth mentioning. It's an anomaly, you know, say what about it, interpret it any way you want. But Lee did a good job of breaking that down. Four for the Saints, three for the Panthers, three for the Falcons. Big fat goose egg for your local Buccaneers. Zero. Well, here's the irony. The league realigned in 2002, the championship Buck season. First year of the NFC South. The first 6 years through 2007, the Bucs won three titles, three out of six. Since then, focus, Steve, crickets.
We all know the story, Ira. You know, no playoffs since 2007. That really says it all. You know, winning the division, not winning the division. Bucs haven't been anywhere in a while, and now we're hoping that changes now. Sage, let's talk about beer. I have to confess, I have been drinking a Bramosa, the Tangerine IPA, the fantastic Tangerine IPA from Big Storm Brewing Company during this podcast, and that's why I think I started laughing a little bit earlier, but it's fantastic. It is delicious. It is one of the core beers. BigStormBrewery.com, BigStormBrewery.com. Tropic Pressure, Ira, that's your favorite. The Key Lime Shandy, that's in the mix there. I know your wife loves that. The Wavemaker Amber Ale is the standard. But the Bramosa, that's my number one right now. Ira, how excited are you to watch games all season long with Bucks fans at Big Storm?
I think it's going to be fantastic. I've been in both locations. I've been in the Clearwater one. I've been in the Odessa one. They're outstanding venues. There's going to be plenty of room for Buck Nation to gather. Can't wait to press the flesh. Guys like Coach Combs that are regulars. There's no better way to watch a Buck game than with your compatriots all rooting for the same cause. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Find Big Storm beer at fine establishments everywhere and use the Storm Tracker at BigStormBrewery.com where you can nail it down. To put in your zip code, you'll find out where to get Big Storm beer. Get the Bramosa. It is just a beach beer, an everyday beer. I think I'm a drunk now, Lee. I don't know what to say.
Well, you are like-minded, Steve. Now, no, I'm not drinking a Bramosa, but as we were taping this podcast, a gentleman by the handle of Gray Matter C9 on Twitter, Gray Matter C9, he Twittered Ira, Twittered us, Twittered Big Storm Brewing, talking about how he went to Big Storm yesterday and had a delicious Bramosa, quote-unquote, delicious Bramosa, and he's looking forward to returning at his earliest convenience to have an Arcus beer.
We are so pumped up for these watch parties at Big Storm Brewing Company, the flagship location, 49th Street. It is going to just be awesome. I don't even know how else to explain it. So much better than previous ones because they're Bucks fans there. They love the team, and it's all going to be at one spot, and it's all brand new. It's just so fantastic. Ira, the Pro Bowl is moving from Orlando to Vegas. What do you think of that?
Well, from a league perspective, I think it makes a lot of sense. Sizzle, new stadium, Vegas, vibrant city, Orlando, say what you want, 60-mile traffic jam going both ways. But from our perspective, I'll just speak from Joe Buck's fan. For me, it was a little bit useful. Steve, you dragged me out there a couple of years ago. I didn't want to go. But Steve said, no, come on. We'll come out there one day. We'll get our interviews. And I believe Andy Reid was the coach of the team, and Kelsey was running around.
Yeah.
And it helped me a little bit because, guys, it was only a week or two before the Hall of Fame meeting.
Oh.
And, of course, you know, I do all my things and talk to all the guys, but you can always get that one more quote, you know, that one more that maybe, you know, could seal the deal with a John Lynch. I try to get stuff for Rondé Barber from the year that he finally makes it as a finalist. Hopefully it'll be this year, Simeon Rice. And, you know, there's enough talented people there, big-time people. I remember a few years ago when I was trying to, I believe Herm Edwards was working for ESPN, gentlemen, mm-hmm. and he was out there. And I got him to talk about Lynch because I believe he's godson to Lynch's kid or vice versa. I can't remember which. They're very close. Of course, Edwards used to coach Buck defensive backs. And he gave me some good stuff that I brought in the room. Ultimately, it didn't work, you know, much to my frustration. But I did pick up a few things. I got Breeze to talk about Rondé Barber. He was out there. So from that perspective, you know, I'll miss a valuable tool, but I don't watch the Pro Bowl. It's almost not as bad. It's almost as bad as the NHL and NBA All-Star games. Baseball rules the roost there. That is still a legitimate, entertaining All-Star game. I'm not watching a 15-11 hockey game. I'm not watching it. And the Pro Bowl, there's absolutely no defense. Zero. Nothing. So Vegas makes it, Leah, it makes sense from a league perspective.
Oh, yeah, it does. Pro Bowl, I'm like you, Ira. I don't care. And it's a week before the Super Bowl. And since Steve was unavailable this winter to go to the Pro Bowl, usually that's Steve's gig. And then I go to the Super Bowl media day. Well, this year, I did both, largely because Steve was unavailable. And, you know, I drove to Orlando a couple days. I got a lot of stories, got a lot of info. Now, when I heard they were moving it, you know, I wasn't really, shucks, you know. That's about a half dozen stories we won't have. But then I saw Vegas, and I emailed Steve. I said, I think we can still continue to cover the Pro Bowl, Steve.
I thought the same thing. With your affection for the City of Lights over there, you'll be over there. You'll catch a Penn and Teller show while you're out there.
No. I know the only shows I go to are comedy acts or cons, but that's
you're still looking for Don Rickles.
I'm chagrined the guy's gone. Hanks had the quote of all quotes when Don Rickles died. I don't know if you heard that or not, Ira, but when Don Rickles passed that day, it was a couple summers ago, Tom Hanks tweeted out, "A god died today."
Wow.
Ira, well, shame on you.
That was fantastic.
Ira, shame on you for not watching the Pro Bowl. You missed Mike Evans playing defense a couple of years ago. You missed Quan Alexander not getting the memo that nobody was hitting a couple of years back, which was fantastic. Drilled a guy in the rain, forced a fumble. It was fantastic.
You know, more examples of fluff, Steve. More fluff.
All right.
But you know what, Ira? You had a great point when you said, from a league perspective, that was really smart to move the Pro Bowl to Vegas. How many people you think are going to go there because it's Vegas? There's no football that weekend, you know, outside of the Pro Bowl, which is to say there's no football that weekend. But that's going to give people something to do before the Super Bowl. They'll go to Vegas. If anybody anywhere else outside of possibly Hawaii, they wouldn't do that. But Vegas, yeah.
You're right. And Lee, the way things are going right now with negotiations, the baseball season could still be going on and on January 26th. Who knows?
All right, Ira, you took questions on your last podcast. Anybody wants to hear those answers and really listen to last podcast and all the podcasts can go to many platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Google Play, others, and subscribe free. You'll get a nice alert. We tweet it out, of course, at Joe Bucks Fan. Ira tweets when he feels like it. And, of course, you can listen right at the website to Ira's podcast. But not every question made the cut, Ira. Not every question made the cut last time because we put out the call for questions and then taped right away. So our good buddy Javier in Panama actually sent three questions. He's sort of taking a cue from me at these news conferences. And we'll hit them rapid fire now since Javier didn't get in. And you can hit these quickly, Ira.
Ready.
All right. How is the presentation for the 2021 Hall of Fame coming along?
I'm starting to get a little encouraged. I'm fighting it because I was encouraged in previous years about John Lynch. A couple of years ago in particular, it was the year that Jason Taylor got in somehow, some way, as a first ballot Hall of Famer. Nobody thought, I thought that was Lynch's year. I forgot the city we were in. Nobody saw Jason Taylor coming, and I was stunned. But I'm getting a little bit encouraged. He got back in the top 10 last year. That's a big move. He didn't get cut on the first cut from 15 to 10. He survived that, and then he got squeezed out. I mean, you know, some great players. I mean, Edgerrin James, Hutchinson, these are great players. What are you going to do? Isaac Bruce, Atwater's off the ballot. Now, look, it's a tough year because there's some very strong first-year players. I mean, there's no question about it. We shall see. Charles Woodson is very formidable, you know, and there's some other guys. But the game's in Tampa, Javier, so the momentum that Lynch built last season, I think it's going to carry over. I think he's got a good chance.
All right, Sage, so you're hopeful, especially in Tampa. I think that might help a little bit, you know, especially with those voters feeling a little bit more buzz, but we'll see. All right, Ira, this one's a quickie, and this is really hits at the core of the Sage. I can't wait to hear the answer to this, and I know there are some people who hate you for this, Ira, but Javier wants to know, when the Buccaneers play the Chiefs, who will you be rooting for?
Buccaneers, my friend. Buccaneers. Look, the more they win, the more sponsors we get, the more fun it is covering them, the more fun it is talking to these guys. Makes our jobs much easier. The response that we get, the traffic's up. The answer, I had my fill of the Chiefs. They, you know, every 50 years, I expect to be cashed in as a Chiefs fan. Now I got to wait another 49.
All right, that's impressive, Lee. I'm impressed. What do you think about that, Lee?
You know, it bothers me. There was one guy in particular on JoeBucksFan.com that hounded Ira week after week after week. He should quit writing about the Bucks. He ought to be a Chiefs writer. And to me, that was just beyond an unfair shot at Ira and his professionalism. That drove me bananas. Because I knew better. I know Ira better. Ira's a pro, a veteran pro, decades. Ought to be in the Hall of Fame. And just suggest that, you know, he's a fan. You know, he writes negatively about the Bucks because he grew up as a fan of another team. That bothers me.
Hold on, Steve. Before you ask the last one from Javier, I want to pass this. I want to pass this on to you, Stephen. File this away. We are now voting the Pro Football Writers. We're now voting for these awards: the Halas Award. There's a couple other awards. Team PRs get an award for being most helpful with the media.
When you say now, do you mean like right now, or that's a task of the organization?
This week, the ballots are out. And then there's a McCann Award, which is goes to a writer or somebody in electronic media like a John Clayton or something like that. It's only one a year for distinguished work over the years. Great people like Dan Pompey and Rick Goslin, and they've all been saluted. So there were six finalists, and Barry Myers was up for it, a few other, Jared Bell. I voted for Barry Wilner. People may not know who he is. He's the Associated Press pro football writer for the last 25, 30 years. I know him well, consider him a friend. Used to be a rival of mine when I was with UPI. So anyway, I voted for him, and I sent him an email saying, I just voted for you for the McCann Award, Barry. And his response, his bits was, your name should be on that list, Kaufman.
Well, Ira, let me explain to the fans. Whoever wins the McCann Award is honored forever in the Hall of Fame. It's basically the writer's wing, if you will, of the Hall of Fame. And you belong in there, Ira. I've read the bylaws on the McCann Award, and a huge piece of that is supposed to be on length of service. And part of it's also diversity of service. And, you know, I expect you on that ballot next year, and I expect you to win, which means I expect you to write some things this year. If you listen to me, I will guide you toward writing some big money, high profile pieces, and it will get you in the Hall of Fame. And then you can retire and be a shirtless Buccaneers fan in this 300 section for the rest of your days.
Well, Steve, I'm in my fifth decade of dealing with pro football. I think people know who I am by now. Yeah. I've broken my share of stories. We shall see. But it was a nice compliment for Barry to say that.
Well, that's good. You know, Ira, I don't think you realize, you remember, it was you, Barry, and I out to dinner in Phoenix when I drove like a maniac to that restaurant and scarred you for life.
You know, you're right. That's the guy. That's the guy, Steve. Barry Wilmer.
I know. I spent the night with the guy. I mean, not, I spent a dinner with the guy. I don't want anyone to get confused.
Understood, Steve. Understood.
And this last question from Javier, which needs no answer because you addressed it earlier with the running game. He says, Uncle Ira, going into the season, which unit gives you the most agita? And, that's one of your favorite words. And, of course, it's the running backs.
Well, I hold on, Steve. Right. You don't be presumptuous now, Steven. I might switch it to the offensive line. I might. Ooh. I don't like the depth there. I don't like it. Although Haig, I think that was a smart move. If they didn't have Haig, I'd really be concerned. Because they've had tremendous stability up there. I mean, extraordinary health. You can't plan on that every year. We all know about Donovan Smith. He never misses a game. Marquette, the center. Cap has been durable. So if guys go down, and we know how important in protecting Brady is, and of course it goes to opening holes for the running game, that O-line, it's a highly paid O-line. See, I'm still a little skeptical.
Well, here's one. Somebody asked me this, and I'm glad you brought this up, because this was directed to you. Someone asked me this, I guess a month ago. Guy was all frustrated. He was like, why is Ira so damn out of shape about Alex Kappa playing guard? Why is he always screaming about him going to tackle? Doesn't Ira know that Tristan Wirfs is the same size as Alex Kappa? But he doesn't say anything about Tristan Wirfs. I'm like, well, I confessed. I said, well, number one, I didn't know that they're both the same size. And I said, number two, I'll have to ask Ira. So here's my chance. Why do you not give Tristan Wirfs the grief that you give Alex Kappa for being tall?
Because Tristan Wirfs is playing right tackle. And that's where I said that. That's where I said Kappa should be playing. I don't see any double standard here. My problem with Kappa is I thought he was a more prototypical right tackle, which I agree Wirfs is. Now, you've suggested Wirfs could be moved to guard if need be, possibly, but I guess I'm just thinking, you don't see 6'6", 6'7" guards. You normally don't see it. At the same time, I'll say I thought Kappa handled himself pretty well last year. We didn't talk about him a lot, and for an O-lineman, that's a compliment.
I thought he had a nice year for his second year, and he proved to me that he's one tough SOB. You play a game in the NFL as a lineman with a broken arm, you're biker brawling tough. You're Hell's Angels kind of tough.
Absolutely.
And I like those kind of offensive linemen.
All right, Ira, now we've got to talk about a little bit of theater. Ira, before we get to this important piece of theater that is critical to us and to Bucks fans in general, Ira, what do you do? I'm going to quiz you right now. What do you do if you smell mold, you see a little mold, or you got a leak somewhere that you think's been hanging out for a while? What do?
You do not hesitate. You pick up the phone immediately, and you call Florida's Elite Restoration. Florida's Elite Restoration.
Well done, Ira. I am very impressed for a late night response there, Ira. You've got it down. You can also go to floridaselite restoration.com and contact them through the website 24/7. They will do an emergency call, no problem whatsoever. This is a local company that is growing, that's been around a while as well. Josh, the owner there, you know him, Ira. He's got 20 years in the business, and they're honest. And that's so critical when you're making an urgent decision that involves insurance and all that. They can handle all of that for you. Florida's Elite Restoration. They'll get out there with their thermal imaging cameras. They'll check it all out, let you know what to do. And there's no pressure, and it's free. They will explain to you how insurance may or may not cover something. And of course, they're going to do the full mold remediation. If you've got a problem, they will take care of it so it doesn't spread and get you going. They handle all sorts of other disasters at your home as well. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. Ira Lee sent me this fantastic video, and it later appeared at ProFootballTalk.com. It was Mike Florio doing a dramatic reading directly from Joe Bucks Fan Pros, which is my response to Chris Sims, which we talked about last podcast, ranking Tom Brady 15th overall. And I didn't even send this to Florio. He went to our website, as he is wont to do, as Lee would say, and he read my reaction, which was, okay, who cares if he's 15th? Jameis Winston was 33rd, so that's a big upgrade. And you know what? Brady can still win and is a genius reading defenses, according to Sims, so it's no big deal. And then Sims responded with dramatic love for all things Joe Bucks fan. This is on NBC television. Ira, what do you think of that?
I love the respect. I love the respect generated from Pro Football Talk towards Joe Bucks fan. This has been going on for a long time. You two forged a very strong relationship before I ever joined JBF 4 years ago. I think I've solidified that a bit with some of my appearances on there. He tells me that Florio says I'm a very vibrant, entertaining guest. I'm wondering why he doesn't have me on a little bit more, but tremendous respect, Steve. And you got to remember, these guys deal with every team in the league. You know, this is not a Bucks-centric site. And they sure talk about Joe Bucks fan a lot. Of course, they talk about the Bucks a lot. And we're sort of their go-to spot. So I think it's a beautiful thing, gentlemen. And I'm going to sign off, Steve, with something that I think is interesting. And Lee, you might think it's ominous, but I'm going to sign off with it. And you guys give me your reaction. Tomorrow morning at the Kaufman household, the Kaufman conclave, there will be a knock on the door in the morning and another handyman will appear.
Will Cosmo greet him?
With full chompers.
I'm speechless, Ira. I'm speechless. All right, listen, look, Ira, this I think is interesting because it goes to success of this team this year. And it's important. I want Lee to weigh in as well. It's just important. DeSean Jackson was on Fox Sports 1, Ira, and he's talking Eagles football, and they ask him about Jameis. He says, I think a lot of times if you're talking the talk and not walking the walk, you know, a lot of guys aren't going to follow behind. Then he tries to catch himself and says, I'm not saying that's necessarily Jameis, but then he goes and says, but you know, the more on the talk, you just got to back it up on the field. I think he's a starting quarterback, blah, blah, blah. So now we know Jackson's history of nonsense, but he still keeps in touch with guys on the Bucks. He still trains here in Tampa. And some guys on the team liked him, some didn't. But you know what? If players really had turned on Jameis, as Jackson asserts, then the improvement that we see this year could be even more striking than we think.
There's no question about it. And speaking of DeSean Jackson, guys, I don't think it's out of line to suggest he better get his act together. He ain't done nothing for 3 or 4 years. I mean, his career's ending with a total flop. This guy was very, very dangerous. You know, big-time average, 17, 18 yards a catch, and he ain't done diddly for about 3 or 4 years. So he's got a big year coming up. Otherwise, he's going to be out of football. But nobody, and I say this very candidly, nobody in the Tampa Bay market has been more on top of the DeSean Jackson-Winston relationship or whatever than Lee DeKemper. Lee DeKemper has been very, very strong on the ups and downs of DeSean Jackson, how he thrived with Ryan Fitzpatrick, how he can't connect with Winston. And I don't believe Lee is surprised in any way over those initial Jackson comments.
Ira, you're too kind. Your humility is starting to smell here. First off, no, I'm not surprised. The only thing I'm surprised is Jackson actually said that. That's number one. But Ira, let's remember the day DeSean Jackson signed with the Bucks. He signed a 3-year contract, and you stated on your podcast, this very podcast, DeSean Jackson will not finish his contract with the Bucks. You were on top of DeSean Jackson. The ink was still wet on his contract, and you were on top of it. So take a bow, Ira.
I did say it, Lee, but you also have intimated consistently that, you know, maybe when Jackson's NFL days are done, you have some information about what went on behind the scenes. And, of course, our fans are very interested in that stuff. But now is not the time, Lee.
Yeah, there's more than DeSean Jackson involved. And when all those parties are no longer in their current occupation, and I don't care about DeSean Jackson, but I don't want to out other people.
Ira, you didn't answer the question. The question was, I'll take it back to you a different way, Ira. Do you believe that Jackson is on the money here in some ways, that guys were not following Jameis, not behind him, and that affected the team? And I'll take the leap that it's going to make a big difference this year with everybody behind Brady, or is that football spirituality, as Lee says?
I think it went up and down. I think it went, during the 3-7 start, turnover is a big issue. There was a big loss of faith in Jameis Winston on both sides of the ball. Both sides. You got to lead by example. He wasn't doing it. He was doing a lot of yakking. Then things seemed to change. You know, 4 weeks in a row, 4 wins. Winston on top of his game. Things were good. Hey, maybe the kids turned the corner. And this is from a player standpoint I'm talking about. And then the final two games, which I have stated on this podcast many times, and I have no reason to think I'm wrong, those are the two games that cost Winston his Buck career over. And Arians, I'll put it this way, Steve. The obvious loss of faith by Bruce Arians after that final game was shared by many in the Buck locker room. And if it wasn't, I think Arians would have thought twice about the way he was thinking about Winston. If he saw strong support for Winston across the board, even after those two losses, I think that would have tempered Arians' approach going into the offseason. And he talks to other players, guys. He does the season-ending interviews. And my surmise is Winston did not get much support from his fellow players at that point. So that's my answer. Yes, of course, confidence in Winston eroded in the locker room.
Your podcast, we appreciate all of our fantastic supporters, the listeners, and Big Storm Beer, Florida's Elite Restoration, and, of course, your presenting sponsor, Bill Curry Ford, a Tampa tradition for the past 60 years. Sage, send the good folks out of this podcast with a final piece of wisdom. I know you've dropped so much in this podcast, you may not have anything left in the tank, but we're going to call on you to get everybody into the weekend, and we get 1 week closer to real football.
All right, here's my word to Buck Nation. Forget the fluff, concentrate on the meat, and the meat is this team better win 10 damn games this year, otherwise there's going to be hell to pay.
Hard words from a hard man.